The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
It is indeed the second hour of the show, and we call it Our Africa, a time dedicated to celebrating the music of Africans by Africans, including world musicians who are inspired by the sound of our continent. And in this hour, we gather around these voices as they tell us tales of these experiences. 2 weeks ago, we played for the very first time here on the show the brand new track, Uyivile, of the upcoming release, Entlizweni, Songs from My Heartland, by a gentleman who has been around for many seasons of jazz in Southern Africa and really needs no introduction. He formed the group Southern Freeway, that was in 1988, was part of the Amandla Cultural Ensemble in the 90s, created, toured, and released music with Mahube from 1997 through to the 2000s. And fast forward, Steve Dyer has released over 7 solo projects. And now, as he gets ready to share with us his latest offering, he joins us for the Our Africa feature this Sunday. A privilege and a first time on the KJS Show, Kofifi FM. Please help me welcome Steve Dyer. Dumela ntate.
Good to be with you.
I really, really appreciate it, of course. And thank you for joining us. You know, Bob, Steve, let's start here. You have been in the music space, you know, since the 90s. It's at least 40 plus years. You know, let's look back on those years. Do you ever, in fact, do you ever pinch yourself, you know, thinking about the highlights of this incredible journey?
You know what? Time goes by in the blink of an eye. So I remember that from very young, around eight or nine years old, I was singing in a school choir, and I somehow always knew that I'd be a musician. So I was blessed in that I didn't have to try other things. I always knew that this was the journey I was going to take. But yes, I do pinch myself. You know, it's been a long, rewarding journey. It's a struggle. You have to be resilient, but I wouldn't want it any other way.
Mm. You know, with that, I something just pops up now. You know, having spent some time in what some may even call exile, you know, with the Hugh Masekelas, forming groups such as Shahakwe with Jonas Gwangwa and many others, please take us back to those days. And how did you meeting them change the trajectory, maybe, of your career?
Well, look, let me say that I don't look on my journey in music as a career. I look on it just as a way of life. And the way of life that happened in that time was I refused conscription into the SADF. It was an apartheid army, and I wasn't willing for that uniform to touch my skin. So I left in early 1982. And at the time, Brajonus Gwangwa was sharing his time between Botswana as well as touring with Amandla Cultural Ensemble, which was the cultural wing of the ANC. At the time, Oliver Tambo had suggested and motivated that in order to highlight the plight of the majority of South Africans at the time, that they needed to do it culturally, and hence the Amandla Cultural Ensemble was formed. So he split his time between there. I was based in Botswana, so when he went off with the Amandla group to tour the world, I stayed and played with people like Abu Dennis Mpale, the recently departed Tony Cedras. There was a whole group of us. And for me, we were playing freedom music. You know, there was nothing about this just being entertainment. And if you look at a lot of the songs that Bra Gwangwa, you know, popularized, songs like Batsumi, like Dipororo, Lidimu, Liatsoha, a lot of them had connotations and a political as well as social message. And then Bra Hugh was there, and he had a group, Kalahari. And so it was a very inspiring time in terms of the music, but it always was couched in this struggle for freedom in South Africa.
It must have been definitely a fascinating time, you know, watching the transitioning of a nation and you being the soundtrack or one of the soundtracks, you know, that ushered this change. I mean, do you feel like you are? In fact, what an unfair question, but I think let's go ahead with it. Do you feel like you are a struggle icon?
Well, I think I have been part of social and cultural activism throughout my life. An icon, no. You know, a lot of people, they bandy around these words like legend and master. As soon as you start believing some of these terms, then maybe you've lost the plot a little bit. But I must say, however, that apart from the music, it was also living in an environment where it was kind of low-intensity warfare. Sometimes people would come through from South Africa and you weren't aware who they said they were. You know, a lot of South Africans would not give their street addresses. So, you know, it was a heady mix of this living with survival. But when you live like that, kind of on the edge, then the kind of, not parties, but the kind of functions that we played at, they just took over an extra meaning. It was living in a deeper sense of the word through a whole range of emotions.
FM. We are spending time with Bob Steve Dyer this morning and listening closer to music from his upcoming project. It comes out in April of 2024, but he has awarded us, you know, the first opportunity to share some of the moments of this project this Sunday for the Hour Africa feature, which happens every Sunday from 11 until 12 o'clock. And before the break, the musical break anyway, we were talking about his life, you know, living in the previous years of jazz in the 90s, the 80s, 90s, and when he became the artist, I suppose, and when he collaborated with the likes of Jonas Gwangwa and Dennis Mpale, he mentioned, including Hugh Masekela. Now, Bob Steve, you recorded, the new offering in Tlizweni, Music from My Heartland, you know, with the cream of the crop when it comes to talent in South Africa. But before we talk about who you featured, let's first unpack the title of this project, In Tlizweni, Music from My Heartland. What inspired this?
Well, you know, when we were in exile, when we are outside the country, you know, we had this utopian dream that of a free, united South Africa, where not necessarily we wouldn't sing Kumbaya, but where people of all shapes, sizes, colors would forge a united society together. And unfortunately, things have not happened the way we envisaged. And, you know, rightfully so, there are a lot of people that look on so many that have fallen for this opportunity to be given to us. And I think there's a great level of frustration in general society now about the state of our country. But there's always a but. This is home. It's got so much potential, and it's underneath my skin. And so these are like song stories. I've tried to be as honest as possible about how I feel about South Africa, but home is home. And so this is a take on where I see myself now, not having given up on South Africa, but acknowledging the serious problems that we have and we face.
Yeah,
but we are resilient, and there's still so much joy and laughter and just a will to live that when you travel outside the country, you really feel that pull again from home.
Yeah.
And so this is my kind of offering possible now.
Wonderful offering. Of course, I've had the privilege of spending time with the project before we presented it this Sunday. And the colorful tapestry of the conversations that you have there, really something that's worth, you know, that could take hours and hours to unpack and explore. But you feature, you know, like the best musicians on the South African circuit currently. You know, let's talk about some of these travelers on this project.
Well, look, I think firstly, I've got to say that for my last three albums, I've played with my last three albums with Stembiso Bengu on trumpet. And he is just somebody that we don't need to talk about the music. And sometimes a lot of the themes that we do, they are not strict. If you listen to the music, we play off each other, and it's some unspoken thing. And I'm really, I'm really indebted to him for what he's brought to not just this project, but a couple before that. As far as the other, you know, instrumentalists, Siphelele Mazibuko really brings something on the drums. And sometimes stylistically, he's playing things on this album that maybe not everybody is familiar with, because, you know, he plays with so many kind of people. For example, the first track, Heartland, you know, he comes from KZN. I come from KZN. And there are not so many drummers that can lock into that kind of groove. And then a really strong player on acoustic bass is Dalisu Ndlazi, who just anchors everything and, you know, is as big with his double bass as he is physically in his presence. Then there is my old friend Andile Yanana playing some of the tracks on piano. We've had a relationship since I came back to South Africa in 1993. So that's a 30-year relationship on and off. He has that maturity in terms of the sound that I was looking for. And he, you know, when you give a song to him, then he bounces it back at you with some other ideas. And then Bokani, my son, played a couple of tracks on piano, and he's always a joy to work with. We work apart from this project in a group called Diatribe, and who am I forgetting? And then there's some featured artists. I got Brother Louis Mhlanga, who I've known actually for longer, since I spent some time in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And so I think by saying this, what's important for me is I look at the synergy between musicians, and then I also I think that relationships apart from the music are important for me, because I think that filters into what you're trying to say within the music. There's Sia Mtembu from The Brother Moves On.
Yeah.
We've had a close relationship, you know, recently. Mtunzi Mvubu is featuring on some track. There's just a lot of different artists that Sidney Mavundla is playing trumpet on a track. And so, yeah, and then also there's some vocals where we had Titi Luzipo and her crew come in and help us with that. So it's quite a full house. And yeah, I was really lucky that everyone agreed to be part of it.
Kofifi FM, you are still listening to The K-Jazz Show. And for Our Africa this Sunday, we're listening closer to the brand new project by multi-instrumentalist Steve Dye. He calls it Inklizweni, Music from Our Heartland. And you are getting the exclusive listen here on Kofifi FM 97.2. Now, well, Steve, South African jazz, you know, we're getting a little bit deep now. South African jazz, you know, is vast and multifaceted. And over the years, I suppose, you know, the music was conscious and had a bigger social message. You know, now, as someone who has had the front row seat, I guess, to the evolution of this jazz, would you say, in your opinion, that we've become more commercialized, you know, in the modern day or with the modern day approach to telling these exact same stories?
No, I think that one of the success stories of the democratic South Africa is the mushrooming of so many young improvising musicians who are taking the music forward and are, you know, really wide-eyed in terms of looking at different influences from wherever they come. You know, I remember when I came back to South Africa and I was looking for specifically drummers that could play the cross rhythms that I was familiar with from Zimbabwe and further up north. And it was a struggle. But now, if you listen to the musicians, they've got their finger on the pulse across continents. And I think they're becoming part of this, of a global movement of musicians. And I'm really happy that South African music is finally taking a bigger chunk of the world stage, and musicians and others, listeners from outside our borders, are starting to take note, because I think, you know, the way we play is unique. So I'm positive on that. I don't know if you're referring to other kind of genres of music. But I'm positive, and I learn and I feed off the young musicians. At the same time, though, you know, I come from a tradition that I can't deny. So I think the kind of maxim that I give myself is, you know, be adventurous, but don't let go of your values in terms of the music. You know, for example, Mbakanga or Marabi, we were steeped in that tradition. When I played with Bra Jonas, we never had a note of music written down, ever.
Yes.
We had to learn all this music by ear. Whereas now, often, you know, guys will come in with charts, which is a good thing, because you can get projects together quicker. But at the same time, you shouldn't let the notes that you are having to read be a barrier between you and essential communication with your audience.
Absolutely, absolutely, of course. And still on working together, let's stay on that point for a second. You know, when one thinks of South African albums, you know, from the musicians in your generation, we'll call them that, Bob Steve, there was a spirit of collaboration, you know, where you found over 20 musicians coming together to create this one masterpiece, whether it was an album or whether it was a song. You know, juxtapose this to the modern times, and we find that there's less collaboration and more of the same artists on several records. And this is just an observation, but and not a feeling of a group of people. So to the young artists that are listening to us right now and are looking up to you and the other, you know, artists from those days, you know, what would you say to them in terms of collaboration?
Well, what I would say is that there's a huge danger of social media and this emphasis on individualism, which really it threatens people, because if you go on social media and you start comparing yourself to people there, you know, your mindset is clouded. And what music is about love. It's about sharing, as you say. And sometimes this idea of individualism, it can restrict people, and it starts making people think, what am I doing for myself? Instead of, what are we doing for ourselves? And in a bigger global perspective, I think that the ideas that are espoused by Ubuntu and this thing of collective living as opposed to individualism, I think that is the fundamental social message that we can give to the world. And the youth need to know that they come from a society where collectivism always wins. And individualism can get you so far, but it won't make you happy along the journey. And, you know, like Bravusi Mahlasela says, what is Africa going to share with the world? We must stop taking, but we must also share. And I think, as Steve Biko said, the greatest offering that Africans can give to the world is giving them a more human face.
Thank you.
K Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Thank you.
Sharing Gems this Sunday. Of course, he's part of Our Africa. His name is Steve Dyer. Ubab Steve Dyer. Sharing gems and also sharing tips on how he has become, in fact, who is, he has stayed on top of his game, as it were, as a multi-instrumentalist until today with over, you know, 40 years of experience in the music game. Now, speaking of time, Ubab Steve, let's rewind the clock for a minute. I wonder if you remember this. The days of the Orbit in Bloemfontein, you performed a show called Mantswe a Marabi. And if memory serves correct, you know, this was alongside Dalisi Ndlazi on the bass and trombonist Siyama Kuzeni, amongst others anyway. The sound that night was upbeat, you know, and compared to what we originally know as Marabi, and far different than the current, you know, accepted interpretation of the subgenre. But my question here is based on what we heard at the Orbit that night. You know, that was upbeat, and that was quite completely different. It was almost as if you were starting a new version of Marabi that night. So my question, the real question here is, why has there been no development of what we heard that night? I mean, you guys were onto something.
Okay, with Mantswe a Marabi, we've done a couple of demo recordings, and the project is parked for now and shelved. I'm happy to get that feedback from you, because I still think that there's a lot of legs in Mantswe a Marabi and where we can take it. So it's not forgotten. You know, the thing about Marabi and also taking us back to the Botswana days is that music was something that kept the morale up. And I think that, you know, when Marabi You know, I've been listening to actually just when I've been playing my horn, practicing, Skorkian came into my head. And I just think wow. of that phrase in Skorkian. It's so wholesome and it's all diatonic. It's not going out and doing any fancy things, but the way the placement of the notes in that tune, it really brings me to this thing of Marabi where there's just, you know, it's more than the notes. It's the way, the texture around the notes, and it's also the way you play with people around you. And I would say that is one thing that I can say about the young musicians is sometimes I take for granted that they know the genre. Some of them do, but some of them need to also go back into that, even though like harmonically it's dealing with maybe limited chords, but it's how those chords are formulated and work and meld together
yeah.
that we mustn't lose, even though we need to take it in other directions.
Kofifi FM, we're spending time with Dr. Daya here on the K-Jazz Show. And we're talking about everything in between but the album. So let's go back to the album. Really fascinating conversation this Sunday. You know, many musicians, Bob Steve, talk about how they get inspiration, you know, from everyday life, the church, spirituality, and maybe even collaborating with other artists, as we've been saying in this hour, you know, in order for them to write or create music. Let's talk about the creative process, you know, for you this time around on this album and how you translated that into the work of art that it is.
Well, I remember that I thought I wanted to create something that was melodically interesting. And I didn't want to complicate the music. Even though it's layered and textured, I didn't want harmonically to do a whole lot of pyrotechnics. And I wanted to reflect my homeland, which, you know, is it's open spaces, it's the love and warmth of people, and it's a unique way of looking at life and a take on life. So I think that was an impulse for me. And I also wanted to look at each song as a little, like maybe a chapter in a book. So if you look at it, it's quite diverse in its influences. You know, you can't say that from track one to track 10, it's kind of similar in terms of sound and that. But I think in some way I spent a long time trying to keep some links between the whole project and the whole journey, even though it's not really, you know, I can't explain how it works together, but I think it does. Hopefully it does. And then it seemed that, you know, I think that we live in a spiritual place, and some of the songs, they allude to spirituality, Nkulu Nkulu, or, you know, yeah, just higher powers, because we need divine intervention in the country. You know, we really, but, you know, there is a spirit here. And as an artist, I just feel that spirit. And so with all the practicalities of the problems, that's one, it's not an escape, but it's somewhere that you can go otherworldly that is beautiful. And hopefully that can transcend to the listener and get that feeling of what I was trying to say. Or it can impact on the listener in a positive way.
I do believe, in fact, that it will, you know, and I don't believe they will miss, you know, this idea and this story that you're trying to tell us, especially reflecting on the homeland or the heartland in this instance, you know, Bob Steve. The album's official release month is April, you know, of 2024. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some launch events. Please do tell, you know, when we can all come and see, you know, this project in motion.
Yes, I'm still pondering. The idea was to launch it in KZN, and I might still be doing that, but that doesn't preclude me from doing after the release on April the 5th. I'm working on some shows in in and around Johannesburg and then possibly in Cape Town. Nothing is confirmed as yet, but what do they say? Watch the space. You'll be
Watch
the first
the space.
To you'll be the first to know. But we're looking at in April, May, some events happening to showcase the music that we're doing.
Well, we look forward to it. We look forward to being a part of the room. We look forward to being a part of this new story, this new chapter, in the life and times of Steve Dyer. And of course, in the age of digital music and streaming, well, Steve, many collectors are dying to know, will we be getting copies of this album, of this wonderful project? And in what formats can we look out for, since the LPs have made a serious comeback?
Yes, look, at the moment, it'll be on streaming platforms and it'll be on band, so Spotify, Apple Music. It's being released through Ropadope, which is a US company, and so they have some like tentacles in different areas in terms of the digital. And then we're making CDs for the moment. I'm open to the vinyl. That won't come on April the 5th, but it'll hopefully come further on down the line. Yeah, it is really intriguing that, vinyl is making a comeback. I can remember when I did my first album, that was in 1989, and it came out on only vinyl and cassette. And I was looking at the record company saying, hey, man, when are we putting this thing on CD? And now things have changed where there's CDs. I think CDs have lasted. People were predicting their demise, but they're still there. And there's still quite a number of people that do enjoy CDs. Mm. The quality on CD is better than in streaming. But vinyl definitely is making a comeback. The only difficulty with vinyl is that, a vinyl used to be 40 minutes or so. And now CDs are anything between 60 and 70 minutes. So to work out what's going to be included on a vinyl and what doesn't make the cut is going to be problematic.
Indeed, a daunting task, but I know you will pull the rabbit out of the hat. Of course, in the past hour, we've been sharing music from the upcoming project by multi-instrumentalists. And by that, I mean, Bob Steve is on the saxophones, he's on the flutes, he's on the keyboards, the treated piano, the guitar, including the voice, a project he calls Entizweni Music from Our Heartland, which is going to be available from the 5th of April, 2024 on streaming platforms. It's coming out on CD and we will hear from him whether we'll get vinyls or not. So collectors, stand by. Good news is on the horizon. But Bob Steve, thank you so much for taking time and spending your debut Sunday on Kofifi FM with us. And we can't wait to see you, live on the promo run for the new project.
No, great. I think pre-orders will be open from the first week of March. So, people can go out and have a look at the Bandcamp site if they want to download the album or offer that as a gift to people or whatever, in terms of in streaming, we know the whole thing. That streaming to provide a living for an artist, you have to, stream millions. But Bandcamp also has different options.
Yes,
I'm sure your listeners are aware of those kind of things.
The streaming conversation is another one that we'll have another day. I think we'll just dedicate another hour to having that one. But thank you once again for joining us this Sunday and all the best with this project. And we really, really can't wait to see you. And congratulations again on the next chapter in the life and times of Steve Dyer. He is a multi-instrumentalist, Bob Steve Dyer, for Our Africa on the KJazz Show here on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Thank you.